compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, and we may sing for joy and be glad of all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This Sunday night, we'll be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Let me give a little background on the origin of this expression. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Galatia, called himself a servant of Christ. He spoke of one gospel, one God. He wrote, "Christ lives in me," and also declared that he received the gospel by a revelation from Jesus Christ. However, when Paul visited in Judea, people there were cautious about him because of his earlier beliefs. But we learn that they became changed, and they glorified God because of Paul. In the book of Galatians, we read of Paul saying, "The righteous will live by faith." And in chapter 5, he continues his instruction on faith working through love. It's in chapter 5 that he speaks more directly to people, making clear the distinctions between living in the Spirit, I'm sorry, living by the Spirit, and living by the desires of the flesh. He says we are to serve one another in love, stating that the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Where have we heard that before? Continuing in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, here we find mention of the fruit of the Spirit. Listed there are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's take a look now into love. It's an intense affection, and it surely might easily be contained in all of the fruit of the Spirit: joy, peace, patience, etc. But don't you agree that in our world of today, with its heavy media influx, we can too frequently use and distort this word love? It can be abused so often, and it sometimes loses its true meaning. We hear that love encompasses all things. Of course, we know that you are all of God. A form of love can be, or felt through, the enjoyment of reading books, of playing games, golf, sunny days, or spring rain. More importantly, love can be shown toward and returned by a spouse, parents, children, friends, animals. And who doesn't love someone on Valentine's Day? For centuries, love has been a central theme in books, of poetry and stories. But Jesus Christ told us, "Love one another." That was recorded in the New Testament. There are different kinds of love, different forms, recognized by the psychology and sociology professions. Love can mean any of the trinity of eros, philos, and agape. Eros is a passionate love, a sensual, erotic love, described poetically in the Song of Solomon. And philos, a Greek word meaning a close friendship or brotherly love, referenced David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel. And in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verse 10, is the love of the mind and the will. The Christian love, the spiritual love, not sexual. This is an unconditional love which will go on forever. It is different to the other kinds of love in that you can choose it. You can elect to love your spouse. Agape is a selfless, unconditioned love. The highest of all types we find in the Bible. Jesus lived out agape by sacrificing himself for the sins of the world. In the book of John 14, verse 21, Jesus says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Powerful words, yes? So there you have the three generally recognized loves: Eros, Philos, Agape. Love. It's such a small word. So what does it mean to you? What do you love? Your dog? Your cat? Your birds? Who do you love? Too many to count. Love can be painful if it is not reciprocated. If it is returned, it feels like a miracle. So, how often do we say, "I love you"? Often enough. The theologian C.S. Lewis cites four loves in his book, The Four Loves, writing that, in distinguishing between different forms of love, divine love is gift love. Divine love is gift love. The Father gives all he is and has to the Son. The Son gives himself back to the Father and thus gives the world in himself back to the Father too. And Alistair Ebelgrath wrote in his book on Christian theology that John 13, verse 34 tells, "When Christ gave himself as a ransom, Jesus told John, 'I give you my love.'" McGrath continues, "What is the nature and extent of this love? For each of us, he laid down his life, a life which was worth the whole universe. And he requires, in return, that we should do the same for each other." Now, I cannot do better, I think, than refer you back to the New Testament. And I'll sum up in chapter 13 of Corinthians. It's all there, the beautiful language, the poetry, with the final verse, 13. "And now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is..."
It is a joy when we hear a message about love from one who has been so loving over the years and filled with God's love. And so we celebrate that in a special way and appreciate you sharing with us the nature of that fruit. God does wondrous things, and as that fruit is expressed, we grow from it. And thank you again. We have experienced the grace of and fruit of love, and now we have joy.
What is the fruit of this? Dear God, may the words of my lips bring glory to you. And may we all experience the joy of the Holy Spirit today. Amen. We know that we through the Spirit, Spirit's presence in the life of a Christian. As we accept Christ as our light and as the Lord of our life, we accept the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. However, do we sometimes, we ourselves get in the way of those workings? We are aware of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We're going to try to define one of those fruits, joy. Talk about what it can mean to us. And then finally, offer some ideas as to how we can capture joy in our lives. The dictionary defines joy as intense and especially ecstatic or exalted happiness. We are talking about a joy deep within, knowing we are covered, so to speak, with the Holy Spirit's power and watchful awareness. As we accept Jesus for who he is, our Savior, the Holy Spirit enters us and guides and directs who we become as we continuously allow him to do so. He takes us from the prison of guilt to the joy of his freedom. Galatians 5:13 says, "For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion of the flesh, but through love be servants one to another." The joy of serving one another. We can only live by the Spirit as we somehow stay in touch with God every day, every minute, so that we will find the strength to ward off those things in life that would pull us in a different direction. How much time do we actually spend with God? When do we actually pray and acknowledge him? Let me say from my own experience that I always intend to spend more time with him. But so many times, I allow other things to become more consuming with my time. Too often, I begin to pray and my mind wanders. Other concerns take over. Paul said in Romans 7:19, "For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want." What is it that makes me so delinquent in the amount of time I spend with God? Remember the story in Luke 10 when Jesus was visiting Martha's home? Martha had a sister, Mary. The moment Jesus walked in, she sat at the very feet of Jesus and talked to him and listened to every word he had to say. Well, Martha got kind of distracted with all her preparations. And she said to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." The word priority is defined as a thing that is regarded as more important than another. If we regard something more important than another, this is the thing we do. We do our priorities if they are really. We can talk about our relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, but do we actually make it our first priority? Do we want that joy which only the Spirit provides so deeply that we will make our relationship with him our first priority? Or, like Martha, do we allow other things to interfere and thereby miss the more important joy, the permanent joy available to us through God's grace? As we try to understand this gift of the Holy Spirit, let's consider the overwhelming joy of knowing our debt is paid, our sins forgiven, our life worth living, all because Jesus died for us and promised that the Holy Spirit would come to help us live a life for him. Throughout these many years, I have been blessed with children, grandchildren, and now even a great-grandchild. I experience great joy as I hold that baby. time and love and joy with my family if this were not so. There would be no communion with God, no resting in the knowledge that God is in control of my life, no prayer for God to help direct the lives of my family. Yes, Christ's death and resurrection and the presence of the Holy Spirit make all that possible and provide the deep-rooted joy that will last and is always available to us. The fruit of the Spirit is what God wants our lives to show to others. And with the Holy Spirit's help, it is possible. May God help us to make this our priority, to spend the time with Him every day, to pray, read His Word, and listen for His direction. There's a song that has become my joy, hope, and prayer. The words were written by Gloria Gaither, and I would like to share them with you in hopes that we can all identify with them. First, though, I must confess that I have not reached the place this song talks about, but thankfully God isn't done with me yet. Perhaps as I commit to making my time with Him my priority, I will become more and more like Him, so that I may more fully experience the joy He provides. The words go like this. I then shall live as one who has been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am His cherub child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love I gladly will obey. What more joy could we possibly experience than knowing that as we forgive, our sins are forgiven, our debt is paid? The hymn goes on. I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved that I'll risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges. I'll dare to see another's point of view. And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through. It is only through the presence of the Holy Spirit that we can possibly find the grace to love, to let go of fear, to actually consider others' points of view besides our own, and to really commit our relationships. The last verse of the hymn has become my prayer. Your kingdom come around and through and in me. Your power and glory let them shine through me. Your hallowed name, O may I bear with honor, and may your living kingdom come in me. The bread of life, O may I share with honor, and may you feed a hungry world through me. How can we capture this overwhelming joy in our lives? I offer the following 5 steps. Number 1, family unity. In Ephesians 5 and 6, we are told to love and obey and honor our husbands and wives. And children are told to obey their parents. What a joy a family becomes when we follow God's direction. Number 2, decision. Decide to be joyful. Receive the joy of the Lord. Remember that people do not decide who we are. God does. We must learn from our mistakes and then forget the past and concentrate on today. Remember, the joy of the Lord is available no matter what happens. Number 3, rejoicing by choice. When the prodigal son came home, the father chose to rejoice. He could have been very angry with his son because he did make a lot of mistakes, but he chose to rejoice instead. Because he chose to forgive and rejoice, he was able to share in the joy of his son returning home. Let us rejoice in all things. Number 4, knowing what joy is. Joy is not just being happy. Happy comes from a word, hap, which means happenstance. joy of the Holy Spirit, which has anything to do with happenstance. It is deliberate, and it is real. And most important, number five, know joy's source. Psalm 16:11 helps us here as David speaks to God, saying, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." As Paul said, "I do not have power within myself to find the joy which only the Holy Spirit can provide. It is through a daily giving up to Him that will provide." If we could but memorize how wonderful this gift, the joy of the Holy Spirit, can be in our lives, and then make our time spent with God our priority, we would be able to feed a hungry world, a world afraid, a world in trouble, a world in many ways devoid of His presence. Let us commit to claiming His joy so that we can share it with others. May God continue to speak to us, leading and guiding us through His will.